In the last couple of weeks, I've been teaching about seeing, and we're going to continue that. It says in Amplified, 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient. Now, let me stop for a second. What does that mean, self-sufficient? That you don't need God, you don't need anything? No, it means within you is everything in God that you need to draw upon. When Paul said he learned in all things to be content, recall reading that, Paul talking about be content? That's maybe an unfortunate translation of the word. It has the same idea, he's learned in all things to be self-sufficient. In other words, the Word of God in him, the Spirit of God in him, that he could access, he could draw out everything he needs in every situation and circumstances. That's what's being talked about here, okay? So that you, whatever the need, be self-sufficient, or in you is everything you need to draw on for the answer, for the solution, for the victory. Possessing enough to require no aid or support. And furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. That's what the abundant life is. That's what's appointed for you. And in relation to what I've been teaching, do you see yourself like this? Amen. If you're still working on it, that's okay. We're working on it. I'll throw in one story I was reminded of this week. If you can see a thing, you're moving towards it. But the Lord reminded me, I had a dream years ago. And I told Pastor Webb about it, my pastor. And, of course, he's a ATP, airline transport pilot. That's his rating as far as his pilot's license. I'm just private pilot. He's ATP. Anyway, three occasions, I was up with him in a private jet, sitting in the right seat. And in his particular case, qualified to fly that jet as a single pilot. I didn't have the qualifications to touch anything. So I had a dream some years ago where I was flying with Pastor Webb in the right seat, and the right seat is where the first officer sits, left seat is captain. But I knew, I'm working, doing things, and I just knew in the dream I was qualified. Amen. Not just a passenger, but yeah. Qualified. Mm-hmm. And I saw myself in that dream doing that. Well, it's an opportunity. It's something that I can see, and if I dare believe, I can pursue. But it's going to take work. And I'll say this too, the amount of training and money that it would take for me to get there, it will require faith. I have to see myself doing it or I wouldn't make it. I wouldn't get there. I can tell you it's a bit of a challenge to be that sharp mentally and all of that to do those kinds of things. So anyway, the question to me is, okay, you saw the dream. Can you see yourself doing it? Well, let me work on a couple steps ahead of that, and as I do, I could see it more and more and more. My point being this, every one of us, God has shown us some things, and you've seen some things, and they're kind of far out there, even a little bit crazy. Me? Do that? Us? Do that? This scripture just talked about having an abundance, no need of any help from anybody, and there's a charitable thing to give to? Oh, let me meet the need. No problem. Can you see yourself there? That's a little far out there. We're just working on paying the bills. Okay, well, we need to have you seeing yourself paying the bills. Then you can see yourself having a small extra. Then you can see yourself having a little more extra. Then you can see yourself one day, let's just pick something, a millionaire. You don't go from can't pay the bills to millionaire. Not in God. You're faithful with little, you're given more. You're faithful in more, you're given more. You're faithful in more, you're given more. It's in steps, but you have to see it. You have to see it. Seeing. Let's go to the book of Romans, the first chapter and the 16th verse. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed." Are you ashamed of what God has for you? Now, maybe you need to protect it and be careful who you are in front of when you talk about certain things. Jesus said, "Do not cast your pearls before swine." who are the swine? Anybody who would trample down valuable things. Does that make sense? If somebody tramples down valuable things in the mud like it doesn't matter, that's somebody that's acting a bit like swine. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, that's the gospel of Christ. And by the way, we tend to think just the gospel message concerning salvation, get born again, live forever in the presence of God, heaven, right? But the gospel of Christ is so much more than that. And you need to take that understanding, the good news of Christ. Didn't Jesus, quoting Isaiah, say, for the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor? He's talking about poor in spirit. No, he wasn't. Do some homework. You'll find out. What is the good news to someone who's poor? There's a little bit of money available. That's the good news to someone who's poor, right? And then he goes through several other things as well. But anyway, the gospel of Christ, he says he's not ashamed to preach. Verse 17 is what we're really after here, though. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. What I want you to see here, specifically this phrase, revealed from faith to faith. Now, first of all, when we see faith to faith, we are talking about growing from one faith or one challenge or one level to another and to another and to another. And this is how things work in faith. This is how things work in the gospel. This is God, as I explained earlier, God will take you to master a level, have an accomplishment, and then more, and then more. Things where it all happens instantaneously all at once are actually quite rare in our walk with God. Even I heard Brother Keith Moore describing instantaneous miraculous healings. He was talking about laying hands on the sick. Now, he for years was in Brother Hagin's healing school and ministered very often in Brother Hagin's place. And so they would teach for a week and wouldn't even lay hands on the sick folks until Friday. Because the requirement was you come and you hear the word preached for 5 days, and then on the fifth day, we'll lay hands on you. And boy, there's a whole nother message right there. It's extremely rare that God will just do a miracle in somebody without them hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So almost always, everything's preceded by the word. Faith comes, then there can be laying on of hands or other ministry methods take place. So anyway, they would lay hands on people on that fifth day. And he said, I did have tumors right under my hand disappear and go down. He said, that would happen. But he said, but for every one of those, there were 75 that got a little better and a little better and a little better, and over time received their miracle. They were just as healed. From faith to faith to faith. So here's something in our charismatic word of faith, believers who believe in the supernatural power of God to heal and to prosper. There's been the impression given that just come, get your miracle, and you are done. That can happen. That does happen. It's the exception, not the rule. And it'd be better for us to know that we begin to... Mark chapter 16, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. What does that mean? That means they start getting better. And if they arrive at a day where they're completely free of whatever it was, what's wrong with that? We are living a walk of faith. So these things we should expect over time. And if there's instantaneous, now the Lord did say to Brother Hagin, and he's passed along to us, and I'm sure that it's correct. I've seen it many times. You can always believe for healing to be twice as fast as anybody else. That you are like, wow, the doctor's kind of impressed. Hey, this is going well. This is working well. So you can always believe for a speedy recovery because the anointing of God is in you. But it says revealed from faith to faith. There's process in that. Amen. And it's better just to know it up front. All right, we're going to start recovering. Because here's what happens. Hands are laid on people. We proclaim in Jesus' name, healed. And they immediately start checking. It still hurts. Yeah. I guess nothing happened. Wrong. the power of God goes in and you begin to recover. Even in the scriptures, we see this happen with Jesus too. So from faith to faith. Now it says here, revealed from faith to faith. There is a connection between revelation and faith. You cannot have faith beyond what you can see, or said another way, what you have light for, or said another way, what's been revealed or shown to you. There's a connection. And so for anybody to walk in faith in any promise of God, they have to have light on it. There has to be revelation. Can we just agree right now that revelation doesn't come unless God opens that up, unless God gives light? If God doesn't give light, we can't see it. If God doesn't reveal a thing, we can't grasp it, we can't understand it, we can't believe it, and there's not faith. Anybody in here besides me ever read something in the Word and you go, I'm not sure what that means? You know why that is? I don't have light on it yet. And then I find I may get some light. And as I go along living my life in the Word every day, I find I get a little more light on that subject, and a little more light on that subject, and a little more. And it's a process. And I have found I cannot exhaust the light that's in the Word of God. But I can receive it only in doses most of the time. And if I walk in that light, I'll be given more light. If I don't walk in that light that I have, why should I get more? So there's a connection between revelation and faith. You cannot believe what has not been revealed to you, or you've not been shown, or you haven't seen it. You cannot believe what you cannot see. I believe faith brings revelation, and revelation brings faith. Let's think about that for a second. Sometimes you can read something in the scriptures, by his stripes you were healed. Huh, that's pretty cool. Well, stripes, I understand that. That was the flogging, that was the whipping that Jesus took. He took that torture in his body, those stripes, and the Bible says that I'm healed by that. That's pretty cool. I'm not sure I understand that. But at some point in time, God can give you light and you can start putting together, well, he died in my place. His body was wounded and injured in my place, like he died in my place. He did things spiritually in my place. He did things physically in my place. And if he was healed of his wounds and took the punishment for me, I can be healed of my wounds. And you start to get more and more light on that. And there comes a point where you say, by his stripes, I am healed. I see it. Amen. But God has to open that to you. You have to see that. So when you gain revelation, faith is there. Faith comes when you get revelation. Also, it's true, when there's faith and you're walking in that light and revelation you have, more revelation comes. So let's just say there's a financial situation in someone's life, and they begin to see some things about God meeting all their needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And they begin to walk in the light of that and start to say it, believe it, starts changing their heart and attitude a little bit. And as they walk in the light they have, they start seeing things happen and you gain more light. There's more revelation. So what can you do here? You can read your Bible and start walking in the light of it with the little that you see. Actually, I believe this. You can start walking in obedience to the Word before you even have the revelation of that Word, and revelation will come in obedience to faith. Do I have an example of that? Yes, I do. There was a Roman centurion who was taking care of the Jewish people, giving to the poor, and built them a temple. And he had an angel appear to him and said, go find Peter, he's at a certain house, and he will tell you all the words that you need to hear. Peter came, he began to preach Jesus. And boom, Holy Ghost fell, they spoke in other tongues, and they received revelation and light. He was walking in light of what he read without having light of covenant and salvation for him and his house. So revelation came as he walked in obedience to the scriptures. So there can be a certain level of reading the Bible, and the Bible may say something like, bring the whole tithe in, or, you know, just giving you an example. And you say, okay, Bible says it, I'm going to do it. I don't see how this works, but Bible says that I'm going to do it. And in obedience to that, which this is what the Roman centurion was doing, God brought him more light. So an act of faith, believing what you read, can bring further revelation and understanding. And that can bring more faith, and that can bring more revelation, and that can bring more faith, and that can bring more revelation. And some of the folks that you see as Christians who are highly successful in overcoming all kinds of difficulties, maybe addictions and problems, overcoming poverty, overcoming terminal disease or anything like that. What has happened? They've walked in light, they've gotten more light, they've walked in light, they got more light, they walked in light, they got more light. That's how it works. There's a connection. Revelation and faith. Seeing and faith. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 89 and 19. Well, I wish God would show me some things. The truth is, he's shown you many things. And you either have forgotten or didn't recognize it or have not valued it. And all three of those will cause your progress to stop. Psalm 89, 19, it says here, then you spoke in a vision to your Holy One and said, I've given help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. It says here that God spoke in a vision. This is a connection between words and things you see, or things you see put in words. And the psalmist here says, when a vision was given, God spoke. Now, there's a variety of ways, and eventually I need to get to those. How does God show you? How does he give light? And there's a number of ways that he can do that. Here it says, in a vision. I would say that there's been a few times in my life where God has given me a vision. It just has a weight, a sense of weightiness about it, and it's something you see. There's different kinds of visions, something you see in your spirit, and it can even be such that people will see things with the outward eye. So there are times when God does that, but that's not the only way he shows. But here it says that he spoke in a vision. Can I say to you that God's main way of speaking is in vision? Not a vision, but in vision. Now recall, it says in Genesis, the Lord said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Us and our would be the Trinity. So Adam and Eve were created a lot more like God than we might think. We operate similarly. And that's what distinguishes and separates us from all other created organisms, beings, animals, and such. I don't think anybody should be cruel to animals, but saving the whales is not like saving the babies. That's right. So we are created in the image of God. We operate like him. I'd never known a dog to do financial planning, right? It doesn't think about that. So we're of a created order a lot more like God than we might think. So the way God processes things in his mind is similar to how we process things. Or said another way, we process things and operate a lot more like God than we might think. People think in pictures, not words. Words are a vehicle of communication that we use to try to pass a picture from one person to another person. Illustrations are so powerful because it helps someone with words start creating a picture in their mind. Most of us would probably prefer to watch a movie as opposed to read a book, right? Because we get help with the pictures. Maybe, for instance, Mel Gibson, The Passion of the Christ, the flogging scene in that, it's just horrifying if you've seen it. There's a power there to convey something that the words from the scripture talk about, and they scourged him. Like I said, by his stripes you were healed. But when you can see what a Roman cat of nine tails is, and they can begin to portray what it does to someone's back, there were pieces of bone and metal and glass woven into 9 cords on the end of a whip, and they would take those sharp objects, even hooks, and lay them into someone's back and then rip flesh off of their back. That's the stripes that Jesus endured. So pictures. Some of you just winced. Why? Because you got a picture in your mind. You could see that in your mind. God sees things in pictures, and he will use words, he'll use visions, he'll use dreams, he'll use your capacity to imagine to convey pictures. So vision is God's main way of speaking. And you and I, created in his likeness, especially when we're born again, have a capacity to operate in that realm of vision, in things that God can impart to us, and we can see. We can see with our spirits, and it can become so strong we can start to see it with our minds, and then we can work towards seeing it on the physical realm with our bodies. All language means nothing unless an image or a picture or a vision or vision is produced. A simple proof. If Tristara got up and started speaking, or Joseph in Spanish, I could maybe pick out a couple of words. If she said taco, I'd know what that is. If she said baño, I'd know what that is. Caballo, I would know what that is. A gato, the cat, I would know what that is. But I'm pretty limited on that. Why? I can't understand her words, because she could say it, no picture. When you say thunderstorm, when you say tornado, when you say barbecue ribs, when you know, pictures. Every one of you got a thunderstorm, a tornado, and a slab of ribs on the plate in your mind.
It's immediate, too.
Yeah, and it's immediate, just like that. You don't think in words, you think in pictures. When God's going to deal with you, it's going to be in pictures. It's going to be, and you can't have pictures without light. God is light. In him is the light. Light drives out darkness. The darkness did not comprehend it, John the Apostle wrote. Jesus is the light of men. This is not just a mental, psychological exercise of psyching yourself up. Athletes do this. Other people do this. They close their eyes. One of my favorite is, if you ever watch a show on the Blue Angels, the pilots of the Blue Angels, before every show, they'll sit around a table, all of them that are flying the formations of the Blue Angels, close their eyes, and their leader starts calling out the show. And it'll be call out a particular formation, whatever, and he'll say, I don't remember it exactly, but 2, 3, break. And you'll see them all sitting there with the joystick, like the joystick is in their hand, eyes closed. And he says, 2, 3, break. And they are seeing themselves making the maneuvers. And they do that every time. Every time they're going to do a show. They're doing it every time. They are sitting there going through the whole thing in their minds. They are seeing it. They're practicing sitting around a table. This is a wonderful capacity that we have. I can say T-bone steak, and you get a wonderful idea. I say T-bone steak to the dog, and he's like, huh? What's that? He doesn't get a picture. But now if he hears my plate and fork, anybody besides me, just, you don't like it when you're eating something, and a dog's just right there. Drop it, drop it, come on, drop it. They're staring at you.
Yes,
staring at you. Anyway. Language, words, is useless without pictures. The truth is language, writing, is an attempt to convey ideas from one to the next. It's to move a picture from my mind and heart to your mind and heart. And the best amongst public speakers know how to create those pictures in people. God's main way of speaking is in vision. I don't mean a vision specifically, but vision generally. God speaks in vision. We speak in vision. We are created in the image of God. We are like him. We think in pictures. We hear words and convert them into pictures. Now, the word hope in the Bible, We've looked at that quite a bit in our church here. It is a confident and favorable expectation. What do you expect? Certain people hear certain things, and it triggers expectations, right? Maybe based on history that they have. But the enemy tried to create an expectation in me when Pastor Sandy got injured, and we were there in Texas during that hospital. And they started talking to me about the hospital bill. And they started talking about, what are you going to do? We're sure it's over $1 million, right? And so I started seeing pictures. Those words put pictures in me. I saw pictures of me losing my house. I saw pictures of me selling everything I have. I saw pictures of me living in a stupid little apartment in town. Now, if you know me, that don't do. I like room. Some folks are nervous out in the country. I'm nervous in town. No, I'm not nervous, but I recall somebody driving out to the church here one time. We had a special speaker and saying, "It's so dark out here." Came from up in the city of Chicago. And I'm thinking to myself, that's the way I like it. If you drop me in the wilderness with a bare minimum equipment with me, I'd feel safer than if you drop me in the south side of Chicago. I'd feel much safer, right? But the enemy was trying to get me to believe and pick up the picture of me losing my house and losing everything. And I had to choose. What am I going to believe? What am I going to see? On the other hand, I had God speaking to me and giving me pictures of her walking, Amen. Talking, Amen. Doing well. He gave me pictures in my mind and in my heart of literally her and I getting in the airplane and going because there was people that wanted to hear her story. Amen. And I had the opportunity to choose which pictures. So an expectation. What is an expectation? An expectation, well, this is what I expect. An expectation is a picture in your mind of the future. And you let that grow strong enough. If somebody asked you, what do you expect is going to happen? What would you say? Well, I expect I'm going to prosper, excel, be victorious. You know that thing I used to do once in a while with the W instead of the L? Mm-hmm. Not loser, winner, right? This morning, when Pastor Sandy woke up and I was feeding her this morning, I said, "You are a winner." And I'm putting a W on her head like that, you know. Winner, 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 winner. We're winners. Yeah, we Amen. Your expectation is what you see in your future. Whatever you see, you're moving towards. And if you see defeat, if you see, I just don't see how we're going to be able to do this. Guess what? You're not. You won't. Or if it's, I see us coming out on top. Well, how? Oh, I don't know about that. I don't much care about that. How? I don't really care if Pastor Sandy is healed instantly from here going forward or over time. I just see her healed and restored. Because if I banked on it's going to be instantaneous, I'm going to be disappointed day after day after day. And that'll work on me. And eventually I go, this isn't working. Well, now who says it isn't working? Me. I just did. Yeah. That's who said it's not working. Yeah. No, I didn't say it. Right? And that's why around her and in our house, we are saying every day, power of God is in her and it's working. Yeah. She's getting better every day. She's getting stronger every day. And if something seems to contradict that, don't matter. We'll overcome that. So an expectation in you is a picture in your mind, in your heart, of the future. And you get to choose what that picture is. And some folks, no matter how you work with them, you can't get them to receive a new picture. And the picture is not dependent on present circumstances. Well, we couldn't dare to believe that far. Oh, no? Why not? It's free. It is free to expect a better future. Expectations are a picture in our mind. Even God's Word, the Bible. It cannot affect you until you see something. You ever read a scripture and you just go, what was that? What's that about? You don't see it. And so therefore, that scripture can't benefit you. Or someone who's not born again or someone who ridicules the things of God. I've read the Bible. Makes no sense. They don't see it. It can't change them. The word of God's quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Do you know anything that's as powerful as the word of God? Well, if you can't see it, it has no power. I recall seeing video years and years ago of somebody with what they thought was a deliverance ministry. Actually, I think it was an installation ministry. But they would make much of demonic spirits in people, and they would take a Bible and put it on somebody's head, right? Well, do you know a Bible, the paper, the ink, is nothing without seeing the truth in it? Demon spirits are not afraid of your Bible. They are afraid of the light that's in you. So God's Word, the Bible, is nothing until you have light, until you see it. Every day people read God's Word, and some see something. I do. And some see nothing. And it's the same Bible. Those that see nothing cannot believe what they've read. They can't believe it. They got no light. They didn't see anything. Now, a humble heart who says, God, I don't understand this, show me, that's a heart that God can give light to. But it's another heart that says, I knew this was all baloney. I can't believe these people. I'm an atheist. I'm a, you know, whatever. No light. You have to see something in order for there to be faith. We are born again by faith. You had to see something to get born again. You had to see it. Turn with me to Romans 10:17, please. Romans 10:17 says, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes. Faith comes from somewhere and comes to somewhere. We can't pat ourselves on the back and say, oh, I was born with faith. I'm just super full of faith. Well, it came to you from somewhere. And the Bible exhorts us, you know, you can't brag on things that you received. You need to humbly say, yeah, what I have, I received from God. Faith comes. And it tells us how. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is implying a continuous action, hearing and hearing and hearing. And it said there in the earlier verse, Romans 1, revealed faith to faith. So you're going to move from faith to another faith to another faith. So this is a continuous process. As long as you are on this earth, it will be a process of walking by faith and then a greater faith or a more faith and more faith. And if you have ideas that I'm just going to receive by faith and it's all going to be over with and life is going to be super easy because from then on, you know, I won't have a challenge. No, it's not like that. Now, you can learn how to handle these things gracefully, powerfully, easily. Remember, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you can face any challenge with a grace and an ease. And it can seem like it's so easy. Well, it is, but it's still a great challenge. And you got to learn how to do that. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we look at this verse and we say, you hear preaching of the word. You hear God say things to you in your spirit. You read your Bible and faith comes. Yes, all of that is true here. It could be any way that God speaks. If he speaks in visions, a word of God will be a picture many times. Have you ever had things just kind of flash to you and you go, huh? A couple of examples. Pastor Sandy, many years ago, before we ever went to Bible school, she's reading a Brother Hagin book. In the back, it's talking about a Bible school called Rhema. She read the book, read all that, and said, that would be really neat to go to that school one day and put it up on the shelf. Then about 3 years later, she's sitting in class at Rhema, and the Lord reminded her, you know, you said it would be really neat to go to the school one day, and here you are. She saw a glimpse of something and said something from that glimpse. Not too long ago, we got one of these John Deere gators, and she said to the Lord in her prayer time, Lord, I didn't even ask you for this. And he said to her, yes, you did. She said, no, I don't recall asking you for this. And then she told us, well, the Lord said to her, yeah, you'd say it'd be nice to have one of those. She was just imagining having one of those and said, Lord, that'd be nice to have one of those. That's all she ever said. And there it is in her life. Do you know it's that easy? That's all it takes? Just because she said it and saw it, it moved into her life that way. So there are things that just, boom, pop into you. And if you'll receive them, say something on them, and don't discount them. And don't think, oh, that was weird. You're moving towards it. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, the word there in Greek. There's two Greek words. One's logos, one's rhema, when it has word in English. Logos is the written word, generally understood to be what's written down. You have a Bible, you have a copy of the written word, the logos of God. The other one's rhema. Rhema means a revealed word, a word that is shown to you. It means a spoken word. Now, to be spoken as opposed to written means you were in first person and somebody spoke it. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what he said to me, right? So a rhema word is what God says to you. Words create pictures. So faith comes, even though you might read a logos, a written word, faith doesn't come until that written word becomes a spoken word to you, a revealed word to you, a picture to you. You can read a word of God. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. Wow, what would that be like? All the needs I have. I mean, we have this need, and we have that need, and we have that need. What would that be like where every one of those bills, all of that is done, over with, and paid for? Wow. What you need right then is light to see, you know, that can happen. You know, that's actually what God wants. Paul wrote, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, then if that's true, then all my need's supplied. Amen. And all of this worry and concern I have, that's not really my concern. Casting all of my care on him, for he cares for me. Well, Lord, now these needs I have, they're met. You have taken care of these. Why should I worry about them? You got this. You got this. And it's that light at that moment that can bring you faith to receive all the needs are met. So when you read a promise of God, you can start to act on it. But when you start to act on it, what you need is that light. What you need is that revelation, that picture from God. And when it drops in you, don't you dare dismiss it. Can you see yourself with all your bills paid? Now really, what if I had gobs and gobs of money and I came to you today and said, give me every one of your bills, including the mortgage. If you have a mortgage, I got it. I paid for it. It's done. It's over with. Would that be a happy day? Oh, happy day, happy day. Oh, happy day. When you see it, if you see it, that is a happy day. And if you've truly seen it, you rejoice on that happy day. And if you rejoice on that happy day and you hold it and you keep it, your life begins to move towards, in the physical, what you see on the inside. That's what I'm saying when I say, can you see it?
Yeah, that's good.
If it's out there somewhere, you haven't seen it yet. Now, with that, I will admit to you, there's things I'm working on. There's still stuff that I'm still moving towards seeing and have it. One of the things that's been so wonderful for me, of the grace and compassion of God that he's helped me with it, is I see her restored and healed. And as I do, when challenges come and when time goes by, I'm okay. We're okay. Well, Pastor Dan, how are you going? It's over a year now. How are you going through all this? It must be really hard. No, it's not. It is a mercy of God. It is a compassion of God. But he gives me light. He reminds me of the light. And as long as I go, yeah, I've seen it. I've seen the end. I know where this is going. And I talk about it. And I say it. and I share it with others. And if it's going to be things like he showed me, we're getting in the airplane and we're going because there's a church waiting to hear what she has to say. Well, then I know something like this. I better get ready to fly.
Amen.
I need more training. I better get that done. Because if we get to that point and she's ready to go, and I go, oh, well, I'm not ready to fly that kind of a flight just yet. Well, how stupid of me. There's a grace. There's an anointing. There's something I see. I need to pursue it. And you can do that when you see it. When you don't see it, you don't find what you need to do it. Amen. Well, that'll be hard. That's a lot of challenge. Right? See it. And before you see the big things, you got to see the little things. And you'll gain history and experience, and it'll become easier and easier, and you'll gobble up more and more and more. I don't care how prosperous somebody becomes in the Lord, there's more. Why? Isn't that enough money? No, that's not the point. The point is keep growing in God. Keep going by faith. Well, I think that's just too much money. Somebody shouldn't have so much money. Oh, that'll keep you from having money. That's a wrong attitude on these things. Is there anything as any such thing as too much born again? Is there too much being healed?
No.
Is there such a thing as too happy?
No.
Too much joy?
No.
Too much comfort?
No.
God wants you always seeing more, walking by faith, stretching for it, reaching for it, speaking of it, every day talking about what God's doing, what God's moving. I am a covenant child of the living God who was bought with the blood, covered with the blood, who has a covenant of healing, a covenant of prosperity, a covenant of joy, a covenant of peace. You think you deserve all that? No! Jesus deserved all that, and he got it for me, and he's giving it to me, and I have a share in his peace. I have a share in his comfort. I have a share in his wealth. I have a share in his healing. All these things are mine because of him. You want to know who I am? That's who I am. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. I shall be the lender and not the borrower, for he has given me the power to get wealth and everything else. That's who I am.
Thank you, Lord.
It's not a pride thing. It's a seeing thing. So this word here, rhema, it's individual. It's vision from God. Faith comes when light comes, when God shows you all your needs will be met. It's that moment when he says, I'm talking to you. Me? Yeah, I'm talking to you. So a word specifically, a revelation specifically to you from God. Faith comes by hearing, or said another way, faith comes from seeing a picture from God, seeing yourself in the picture. Pictures come several different ways from God. Psalm 119, 130, it says this, the entrance of your words gives light. It doesn't say his words give light. It says the entrance of his words give light. All pictures require light. In darkness, you can't see a thing. And there is a emotional, mental, spiritual darkness where you can't see a thing. But it's his words, whether they come by reading the Bible, hearing a message, fellowshipping with God, and he begins to say and to minister to you, or he just starts showing you things in your heart. You catch a glimpse of you coming out victorious on the other side. There are many ways that God gives words or gives pictures. And that's one of the things I really hope in this series of messages to get across is God has already been ministering to you many times, many ways. And all of us, we've let them slip. It was an opportunity to believe and move toward victory. And it came and it went because we just said, phew, what was that? Instead of saying, oh, God, you're showing me how this turns out. You're showing me how this turns out. You just showed me being victorious. You showed me coming out and on top. Glory to God, glory to God. I already know I'm coming out on top.
Yeah.
When we were in the hospital with Sandy, the first hospital, A Christian came to try to talk to us and was saying to us that you never know what God's will is for somebody. And here we see in this case, his answer is no. Looking at, she was just there at death's door, probably been through death's door and has come in and out. I believe she met the Lord and had some time, as people say, out of their body. But she's saying, trying to tell me that because of the circumstances you see, that shows the will of God. And I said, no, God can show you his will. He can talk to you. He can tell you things. And he has shown me what's the future for her. And it's not her death. They wanted me to let her go. At that point in time, she wasn't on machines. So I didn't know what they're talking about. Are we going to withhold food and water? Or are we going to take a pillow and hold it over her face? Just what are you talking about here? Because in some cases, you unplug machines and people go. The truth is they're probably already gone and the body's being sustained. And so what I'm saying here is God can show you, and you have a choice to make. You can hang on to the picture you see that God shows you, or you can be talked into, well, apparently, looking at the circumstances, I mean, everything was wrong. There was not a natural reason to be found anywhere for any hope for her at all. If I would have gone by my human understanding and judgment, she's gone. But God gave me light. God showed me. I had a choice. And since he showed me long, satisfying life, and I had light on it, I could choose what he said.
Right.
And I immediately went into a level of faith that I had never been at before. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All of us have had many opportunities where God has said or shown and given light, and we made a choice. Sometimes right, sometimes wrong. And let me tell you, this world will condition you to choose wrong. People around you will condition you to choose wrong. People around you will not support going with what God showed you. And just a trick of the devil here that happened, the hospital where she was those 2 months, when you got off the expressway to go there, there were 2 funeral homes that you'd have to pass. Well, if you were going to operate a funeral home just outside the door of the hospital, it's probably a good place for it. Somebody dies and the family goes across the street. So I get that, but I couldn't drive by those without seeing a casket and a funeral every single time. Day after, usually 2 times, 3 times a day. Day after day after day, I drive by and see the hearse out in front there. And that picture was presented to me every day. So an alternate picture, yeah. I had to choose every day. And usually would say something, either in my spirit or out loud. So the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Is this helping?
Yes.
Can you see some things?
Yes.
I wish the Lord would give me a vision. Oh, he has. So many times. And you thought I was just imagining some strange. No, you weren't. It was something from God giving you a picture that you could see. And you had opportunity to grab hold of that. And you just have no idea where those things go. Some of these, you'll have to reach back. They were in your childhood. You saw it and didn't act on it way back then. It's never too late to pick it up again. I'm going to give an illustration one more time here. Something that Denise told me. She and I were at bedside, Sandy here, talking about some things. And she shared something she saw when she was still young. And she said she saw herself providing care for a white woman in a house looking at a river. Even before her teens, she saw that. But the Lord showed her specifically a white woman that she's giving health care for in a house, and she can look out the windows and see a river. And she told me that that guided her career choice. Denise gives care to Pastor Sandy. My house is on the river. Oh, and Pastor Sandy's white. Yeah. And Denise is black. So I'm saying these things for the benefit of someone not here, not knowing who these folks are, and just hearing audio and no video. So she saw something, and she acted on it. Do you know all those years ago, God was moving, lining up the very one who would help us, who would help Sandy and be there ready, equipped, trained. Amen. For the day when she'd be called upon as a minister of God to help us, to help Pastor Sandy. And it all was a picture in her. Was it long? Was it detailed? It was just that, and it just passed through, and that is a glimpse. Yeah, the Lord brought it back because it was so many years ago, and it was not on your mind. But it was a glimpse. But she told me it guided her career choice and her training, or it was a part of that. Well, does the Lord have to do writing in the sky and make angels come and sing to you? And no. What does he need to do? Enough to give you an opportunity to choose it. That's all he needs to do. And my point here in closing is this. This has happened to you many times already. And God was attempting to give you light in pictures, revelation, and you could receive it, you could have faith for it, and you could move in that direction. Wherever you are, whatever you see in yourself, whatever you see yourself doing, accomplishing, bills paid and such, things like that, if you can't see yourself with all your bills paid, you will not get there. If you can, you will. Just keep at it. Keep at it. I see myself with every bill paid. And you can walk through the house. You are paid for. And Bill, you're paid for. The car out there say, paid. Hey, just letting you know, you're paid for. Right? Talk to the house. Paid for. Glory to God. I see myself with an abundance unto every good work. And if the pastor mentions an offering, whoo, it's going to be me. I'm going to give. I'm going to give strong. Why? Because I see myself with an abundance. Can you see that? If you can't see it, you can't have it. If you can see it, you can have it. Praise the Lord.